You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
Gamecat fans, today is Friday, March 20th, the year of our Lord 2026. This is Coffee with JC Sherbert. Hope you're doing fantastic today. Hope you enjoyed the first day of March Madness on a Thursday. We certainly did around here. My bracket is doing okay. I picked TCU yesterday. Most people had Ohio State. Ended up hitting the VCU upset of North Carolina. That didn't look too good for a while. Boy, some great games until the nightcap in Greenville yesterday. Ohio State TCU came right down to the wire. Siena gave Duke all they could handle and then some. A very exciting game. Siena just couldn't hit the broadside of a barn in the second half. Still kept it relatively close. Duke kind of got caught in what we call a spider web in football, where they just kind of played to Siena's level, but still for 116, that was very exciting. North Carolina blew a 19-point lead. It's going to be interesting to see if the Tar Heels keep on down this Hubert Davis path. I think these days, you know, in college sports, and we've seen it here with Lamont Paris and last year Pulmonary in baseball, and we've seen it in football, you know, it is true. You know, South Carolina's not alone on this, that athletic directors are slower to hire than maybe they used to be. That's just kind of the thing. People say it's money, whatever. I don't know. You know, I think what we have to see is at some point, will this work out? You know, because if you look at, I'll use a football example, Florida doubled down with Billy Napier and ended up having to fire him anyway. You know, so last year there was talk about Hubert Davis not making it, and Alabama people were worried about Nate Oates leaving for that job. And then they hired a GM and kind of doubled down. And in fairness, North Carolina basketball, their best player did get hurt. So, I mean, that happens, but kind of a shocking defeat for the Tar Heels yesterday. And then after those three games, Illinois took Penn to the woodshed in the night camp. And now the Illini will get to VCU in the second round instead of North Carolina. So my buddies will be happy about that. But yeah, had a good day bracket-wise, picking the games and stuff like that, and hope you did as well. Softball's been winning lately. Sorry I didn't mention their game the other night. Forgot to write it down like an idiot, but they have been winning. Beat Georgia Southern this week. Back to SEC action. Number 22 LSU tonight, 6 p.m. SEC Network Plus. Gamecock baseball. Arkansas, number 4 in the country, coming in 7 p.m. SEC Network Plus. Josh Gunther will take the mound for the Gamecocks against the Razorbacks. We'll see what happens there. We've talked about that all week. Women's basketball, they'll play Southern because Southern won the play-in game, the Jaguars. They get in, they start NCAA tournament action on ABC network television, the number 4 ranked Gamecocks, number 1 seed in the Sacramento West region. They tip at 1 p.m. Tomorrow from the CLA against the Jaguars in the 116 game. The other game's Clemson in Southern California. And then the winners will meet on Monday. So that's kind of where we're at. Four Quarter Friday. Lots of great guests today. The James Island baseball coach is on with Matt and Steve. Your home for high school sports. Please go over to their YouTube page at Four Quarter Friday. Hit that subscribe button. Lots of good stuff from prospects in the state in sports like women's basketball and baseball. If you care about that, men's basketball, you know, football is going to be big this year. We're really happy about Four Quarter Friday. Lots of things we're going to start doing at Chief Sports with the high school space. If you're connected to a high school athletic program, shoot me an email, jcsherbert@gmail.com. It's my name at gmail.com, or insidethegamecocks@gmail.com. We could use all, we're covering every high school in the state. Any kind of, you want to go take a photo of the stadium and help us, let us showcase it. You got some players there you want to talk about. Please let us know. You can also reach out to Four Quarter Friday directly, spelled out fourquarterfriday@gmail.com. That comes to my email address, and certainly we'll handle that. But we're real proud of that and love high school sports in the state of South Carolina, and got a banger of a theme song on that too. That's from 8:30 to 10. And then Stuart unfortunately cannot join today on the morning show. So Mad Dog and Bradford and I decided to do another one of these combo shows. 10 to 1, 3 hour tour, inside the Gamecock special, starting today. Sports Talk will stream tonight on the Chief Sports Network. So that's your chief update for this morning here on Coffee. Recruiting, 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 right? That's about what it's going to start being. We've got spring practice going on that we've talked about. Going to dig some more on that. Things seem to be going pretty well. Nice little round table about players with Alex on Smorgasbord yesterday. It's on our YouTube channel if you want to check that out. Just some weird takes. I wanted to, I don't think Isaiah Augustov is going to be the starting running back. Like, I would not, that would not be my favorite, like, if I were setting the odds. But I don't know that it won't happen. I think Nick Harbor will lead the team in receiving categories. I'm pretty safe bet on yardage. I mean, I think that yardage will go his way. Receptions, I think it's plausible to say that, but somebody else could have more. There's a lot of interesting takes. I just threw them at Alex to see what he would say yesterday. I didn't even answer them, but that was a lot of fun, and certainly a lot of storylines coming out about spring ball with regards to the first group of the offensive line. Some people are worried about Seth Smith out there at left tackle, and I'll tell you this real quick. I'm not, I don't want to say worried. I will just say it's kind of a mystery. As far as, you look at his film, it checks out. They wouldn't have taken him if they didn't think he was good enough. And for those that want to bring up Sidney Fugar, just because he was from FCS, again, I'll repeat this because I think I kind of say it and people don't remember it. I know he was terrible in 2023 as an FCS transfer. I think he would tell you he was terrible. But he ended up transferring to Baylor and starting and being just fine at this level. They didn't recruit him at the time to come in and start. He had a long runway of 3 months. He was forced to start because everybody got hurt. Cason Henry, and Jalen Nichols were supposed to be your starting tackles that year, and they were out. So Fugar was forced in to play. They ended up moving Vershawn Lee out there against Florida, and then he got hurt, and then he kind of moved him back to center. So it was out of necessity. And I think what's true, and I'll tell you this, it doesn't matter if you where your transfer portal player comes from, or if it's a freshman, or if it's a guy that came in from Ohio State. If you have to go with the guys that are kind of well deep into your depth chart on the offensive line, for most schools, it's an issue. And plus, that was, if we get once we get to 2026, it was 3 years ago. Since then, Nick Gargiulo from FCS has been drafted. Torricelli Simpkins from FCS has been drafted. But I understand left tackle is such a critical position. And if they ranked left tackles like they did quarterbacks, what they love to do, which those lists are always wrong. You'd probably look at it, and if it was Jacarius Peak right now, he'd be top four, three in the SEC. But if it's Seth Smith, it's going to be 15th or 16th, just because they don't know, and I don't know. Something inside of me says, that's a position that I need to kind of see more out of. But you look at Seth Smith's film and on tape, it. He checks out. He's athletic enough. We also don't know, how much of the seven step drop slow developing pass game Kendall Briles is going to use. My guess would be not many. Not that it doesn't matter, though, because if you have a bad left tackle, it doesn't matter how quick you get it off. That guy's coming. That edge is, I mean, he's bad. It's not going to take that long. But so there was some of that last year where if their play was designed a little quicker, maybe Lenoris gets it out. And Lenoris has to make good decisions and all that good stuff. But there's some concern about that, some blanket statements. If they use the left tackle, they'll get in trouble. So number one, let's not throw dirt on Seth Smith before he's taken a snap. It's one of those things. Let's just not do that. You know, that guy's part of the team. He's going to be needed again for depth. He's a 6-year guy. Got a lot of experience. He's older. Sometimes guys like that end up playing their best ball at the end. So let's not do that. Number two, it's just a first group at spring ball. And, I think it gives us the essence and an idea of maybe what Randy Clements is thinking right now. I think it can tell us where guys are working primarily, because there's a lot of guys that can play different positions. So it's very useful information. But it doesn't mean Seth Smith's your starting tackle. Now, I said a couple of weeks ago I would probably go with him, with the caveat that, you know, maybe there's somebody else. Damola Ajidahun, the redshirt freshman. That's a guy that's got a big future. How much can he come along? It does seem like Shane Beamer, as the head coach, is determined to be older this year. And it's smart. You know, he was asked if Indiana inspired that a little bit. And he didn't really say Indiana, and nor should it ever. Every team's different. Every situation's different. And you play the best guys no matter how old they are. But, you know, it's one of those things where you look at it and it could be that it's Ajidahun coming out of spring if he has a really good spring. It could be that Darius Gray, believe it or not, as a true freshman, could play left tackle. And if they're not happy with how the left tackle's going, and then I'm going to get to Peak in a second, that may happen because he's really good. He can play all five positions. Now, I know some of you don't want to hear that. Another freshman at left tackle. What? What? Thought we were getting older on the offensive line, right? No. I mean, yes. Yes, they are older on the offensive line. But left tackle, like I said, critical position if that's Seth Smith's not the answer. Finally, I don't know that Jacarius Peak won't make it back. Maybe a little earlier, because I've been saying Mississippi State, Alabama, you know, just because of the nature of the injury and the minimum time that it usually takes to recover from this. But since that point, and since it happened, more and more you hear, well, it sounds bad as we thought, you know, blah, blah, blah. There's this mass panic, and it was a serious injury. But some guys heal fast. He's obviously an elite athlete. My understanding is right now, and look, I'm hesitant to say this because the minute you start saying, oh, he's going to be just fine and back into form is the minute they come back and they're not fine, you know? But my understanding is it's not the type of patella injury that ruins careers. Does that sound fair right now? Which is good because you need Peak at his best, because at his best is really, really good. So I don't know. If you ask me right now, 30, 40% chance that Peak is the starting left tackle against Kent, and you don't have to worry about who's going to play out there if you're out there in Gamecock land. I'll say this too, though, if there's any kind of question at all against Kenton Towson, I think you do hold him. I mean, you don't want him to – what you don't want to do is put him out there against a team that, you know, your backup left tackle should be able to compete against. If we're being serious around here, that should happen. You don't want to do that. And then he re-injures it, and then that's a problem all year. It's funny because football is one of those things, and this kind of sounds demented, but I've been a fearful flyer. Even though I've flown most, my dad was a pilot. But I'm still just not, I'm uneasy on commercial jetliners. And so the morbidity in me goes back and watches these, famous crashes. And then the first opening scene of the movie Flight with Denzel Washington, I'll watch that because that was that kind of plane in that crashed in that movie was and then funny enough, they were going from Orlando to Atlanta. And I used to fly AirTran all the time, and they had those types of planes, the Boeing 717, and used to be a DC-9. But what that sequence was based on was a Alaska Airlines airliner that went down in the Pacific from they were going from Mexico, I believe, to Portland or Seattle, and it crashed. And the pilot actually got the plane inverted, like in the movie. Unfortunately, he couldn't save it, and it crashed in the Pacific, and everybody perished. But what brought that plane down was a tiny jack screw that tore the vertical stabilizer off of it. Offensive line is like that. One little part of it, you pull the pin, it breaks, whatever, and disaster can happen. And so you want that solidified, definitely. That was kind of a morbid analogy. I don't want to use that one anymore. Anyway, probably have to get on a plane here in the next coming months. And I'm like, oh, great. Especially now, flying is a tremendous adventure. So there's a lot of talk about the offensive line and all that good stuff coming out of spring ball. Gamecocks will continue to go through it. We'll keep you updated and all that. But recruiting, you still have to recruit high school players. The Gamecocks last year, I thought, signed a good class. I think in this class, 2027, in-state's a little bit more of a challenge maybe than it has been. Not that it isn't a challenge to get those players in, but you want to hit it about 80, 90% of those. And there's just some guys that you don't feel great about right now. You don't feel bad about them, but you don't feel great about them like you do in some years. But that's a 4-8 hot seat thing. That still matters with high school recruits. Portal, not so much, especially older portal guys. High school, you get beat up a little bit about that on the trail. And Jaden Bryant from Irmo, who's now apparently a 5-star across the edge, and Carolina's still communicating with him, and they're going to try to flip him, and they've got a good track record of flipping in-state guys, but he's committed to LSU already. It's just one of those things where losing and hot seat talk hurts you more in-state than anywhere else. Now, this is not doom and gloom. We got a long way to go. We always tend to fuss and worry. We don't fuss and worry about recruiting from the high school ranks as much as we used to year round, but we do in the summer, and summer's coming, and this is a time where you get spring visits, and then summer officials start heating up, and then everybody kind of decides in July and August, and that's your recruiting basically. There's some flips and some signing day things that happen and all that good stuff. Now, if some people get their way, like Greg Sankey, and it goes back to the February signing day, then it'll be back in January. January will be the big month. I don't know what they'll do about summer official visits and all that. I tend to kind of, I miss during January, especially if you don't have a good basketball team to talk about, men's basketball team. I kind of miss the, after the portal ends, it kind of gets sad because January used to be such a busy month. So I would welcome that back because it wouldn't be as bored. But I kind of like June, and having being max recruiting and all that with officials, with camps, with new offers, and then everybody decides in July, and then most of them stick around here. Most of them stick. But the Gamecocks have a nice group coming in this weekend, a very nice group from all over. And it starts at edge. If you look at South Carolina's edge room, this is Stewart's most likely his last year. He's ready to rock and roll into the NFL, unless something unforeseen happens. So there's that. But it's time to start refilling the coffers now. You may say, well, what, JC, Julian Walker? Yeah, but that's one guy. You need more. And these guys aren't easy to get in the portal either. You do have a young player in Drew Collins, Anthony Addison, Quay Dodd. I think those guys are good, but You want to be a little deeper there, and you got Dylan Stewart and George Wilson will be departing after this year. So, and there's a lot of good players at that spot that are interested in the Gamecocks. And I'll start with a guy that visited yesterday, Anthony Sweeney, DMV guy, Maryland. Carolina needs to continue to get what they can up there as far as quality goes. It's been very good to them. He's from Good Counsel. Good Counsel is a powerhouse. The Hayden brothers played there. The Fuller brothers, or one of these, Kendall played there. Powerhouse Catholic school up in the outside of D.C. in Maryland. It's not not Baltimore, not necessarily D.C., but it's in the D.M.V. 6'4", 230, really good player. Deion Barnes is now recruiting all these guys, and a lot of these players, I think, have good relationships with him. He is, from what I'm told, an assassin. That's what I was told on the recruiting trail. So that's good because Sterling Lucas obviously was really good at recruiting as well. And of course, reminder these days, certainly at South Carolina with Shane Beamer as your head coach, he's heavily involved. And then, Darren Usher and Sam Searby and all those dudes that work inside, they're just so much more involved and important now than maybe they once were when the assistant coaches were kind of taking the lead. But Deion Barnes certainly matters. And so that's good. And so he visited and seemed to have a good time. And obviously he is a stud. And there's four of them that have going to officially visit Carolina. And then maybe more as far as the top 20 edge prospects in America. So you want to get two, I think. You want to get two. You got to play a little roulette there and get two. Jaden Bryant's one of them, from Irmo. If you can flip him, that's super duper. And great. And at this position, we'll talk about, we talk about NIL. At this position, I would go, and Carolina's done this, go a little higher with the money. Left tackles to me, there's a ceiling, right? Any offensive lineman, there's got to be a ceiling. Now, if it's a in-state surefire left tackle, maybe you go a little higher. But defensive tackles, defensive ends, lockdown corners, as long as they're just absolute no-brainers, you maybe go a little bit more on that and see kind of what you can do, because if you're 4-8 and you're struggling with belief, because that's what it comes down to, maybe you sweeten the pot a little bit. Who knows? I'll let Darren's better, obviously very well suited to handle that part of it. So let Darren Usher handle that. But if you want my opinion on it, this is a spot where you have to have dudes. I mean, you just do. We you can't. Again, injuries happen. I mean, look at how many edges last year. George Wilson, Jaylen Brown, Kobe Saki Pra. He was a freshman, so does that matter? All down for the count. They were missing three guys out of that room. Two of them would have played. Still a pretty good year at that position. And Brian Thomas Jr., six sacks and all that. Could it have been better? Absolutely. But and then you can't always count the portal. I mean, you're gonna end up really spending for big time edge players. And then the portal this year, there wasn't a ton, of known guys, right? Known guys. And they got, of course, Caleb Herring and Drew Collins. But that's Anthony Sweeney's a big time visit. Seemed like he had a good time. Good Counsel's got a long track record of putting out players. And you guys know I'm all about DMV recruits. Frederick Ards. It's a player out of Orlando Jones, 6'5", 225, taller, leaner guy. You'd have to put weight on quick first step, top whatever 20 prospect in the country. Orlando Jones in Florida, by the way. Carolina doesn't recruit Florida maybe like it once did under Steve Spurrier. So I got to, sometimes I'm just like, well, First Coast, that's in Jacksonville. That's where Shaq Wilson went, but maybe some of you don't remember what First Coast is. So Jones is in Orlando, Florida Jones. I think there's an actor called Orlando Jones too. So just for clarification, 6'5", 225, offers from everywhere. We're going to have to beat the whole country on him. But very receptive so far. This visit this weekend is going to be big. Like his name, Freddie. This could be a guy, when you're talking about who to kind of pair with Julian Walker moving forward with the program. I like him. Another guy I really like out of Downingtown East High School in Pennsylvania, and this is probably a guy Deion Barnes has had a relationship with, is Abraham Cisse. 6'5", 215, Downingtown East, outside of going kind of west from Philadelphia. It's a Philly suburb. D-end, of course he's a D-end, JC. Edge, I guess is what you call it. Long, lean dude. Built a lot like KJ Green, a five-star from Stevenson High School that's really high on Carolina and has been for a while out of Atlanta. He's not set to come in this weekend. He's got an unofficial scheduled a couple of days moving forward, and then an official schedule. Gamecocks have been up or near the top of KJ Green's list for a while, and they're going to try to make a move with Abraham Cisse. Another piece of news, Chris Whitehead, 6'5", 230, from Byrd High School in Chesterfield, Virginia, Richmond area. Shane Beamer, long history of recruiting that school and that area. He has set an official visit for the Gamecocks. He's number one prospect in Virginia, according to 24/7 Sports, just like Darius Gray was. I'll say this: recruiting Virginia against Virginia Tech, because Junior Samuel, there's a crystal ball, and Samuel's a crystal ball in for him. For the Hokies, with James Franklin there, armed with more cash, it's going to be a little more difficult to beat the home team. Now, if you look at the history of Virginia Tech recruiting, it's such a vast state geographically. Sometimes them being located, and everybody up there will tell you this, in Southwest Virginia, in Blacksburg, it's a haul to get over there. Sometimes that works against them, but there's enough players in the state when Frank Beamer had it rolling that it didn't matter. They would still go get player. They would lose. There would be guys from Northern Virginia, maybe a couple from the 757, guys from Richmond. They would just go elsewhere, and the Hokies still were able to stock their roster. So that it's not a It's not like if Alabama's back and you're trying to get guys out of that state, or Auburn's back, but it is significant and something to watch. It's not that it's ever been easy to beat the Hokies on an in-state player, but when you're losing and your coach is on the hot seat and you hadn't done much and you don't have the resources, it's a little bit. And Justin Fuente he didn't even care to recruit. A little easier to get players out of Virginia. But Chris Whitehead has set up a visit, and we'll see there. He's top 20 something player in the country, offers from everywhere. All that good stuff. So Edge is a spot that, they're casting a wide net. They're locked in on top talent. We'll see how it goes. Defensive tackle Josiah Fields is also expected in. He's from the Charlotte area, 6'4" and a half, 250 is what he's listed at. I'm assuming he's bigger than that now. Some of these height and weights on 24/7 Sports are from like their freshman year, because they rank guys so early. I mean, these guys all may be heavier. Aiden Gibson, the four-star running back from Woodruff, who I really like, who's getting all kinds of attention. Gamecocks will have him on campus. Josh Dobson, who I guess now 24/7 doesn't think he's the best corner in the country because they dropped him. He's no longer a five-star, according to them. He's now in North Carolina. He was at Catawba Ridge last year in South Carolina, now North Carolina at Huff High School, that same high school with Smoke Matthews and a long list of very good players, especially defensive back. So we'll see. Hearing kind of LSU is a big factor for him. Gamecocks are right there in the mix as well, with Torian Gray. So if they're going to go after him, five stars or not, still a really good player. He's supposed to be on campus. Mekhi Allen from another powerhouse school in the Northeast, Don Bosco Prep. Linebacker, 6'1", 230. Boy, I like him. He's got that New Jersey tough about him. Don Bosco, you're going to play physical at that program. Really like what he brings to the table. He's visiting. Here's a name. Robert Gathers the third. I remember when his dad was a recruit. Robert Gathers Jr. I think that was the Holtz era. Carolina, Clemson, they were all in on him. He ended up going to Georgia. And, that was that. Carolina got Clifton Gathers, right? Out of the Gathers family. But really good player at Georgia, his dad was. His son is a safety linebacker, 6'2", 217. There's never been a Gathers that has not panned out. Even Clayton Gathers, who went to UCF. For some reason, Carolina didn't offer, and then they were terrible at safety. He's an NFL draft pick at safety and went to UCF. So, but this Gathers is not at Carver's Bay. He's at Providence Day in Charlotte, and the Gamecocks will have him in. Jaxton Elston from Oxford, Alabama, another school the Gamecocks have gotten players out of. Britt, the linebacker that's a freshman, is from Oxford. I think Darren Usher has a great relationship with them. 6'4", 325 interior offensive lineman. Jerry Meyer the third from Texas, a quarterback, 6'1", 170, is expected in. On the quarterback recruiting part of it, keep an eye on DJ Hunter from Buford High School. I think the Gamecocks have made like a serious move with him. That may be the guy at quarterback. May. There are no absolutes in recruiting, but maybe. Josiah Fields, back to him, the Charlotte area D tackle, really like him. I like a lot of the D tackles they've offered out of North Carolina. It's D line heaven, right? So you got to go there. So it's a good group of visitors that are coming in. Maybe some more that come in, who knows, for the weekend. And we'll see, progress is, you either make progress with these or the guys and their families. If they come in, they're like, oh, I didn't really like it, and they never come back again. So it's a process of elimination. It's like speed dating this weekend. So I like where things stand. There's good official visits being set up every day. Gonna have a big June on the recruiting trail as they try to get together another good 2027 recruiting class. But I do think this, I'll leave you with this. Edge is a priority. They got to restock that right now. They're always going to hit the portal. I don't know that. I'm assuming this class is going to be a little bigger. Edge, wait a minute. I just said something. Declare Edge is a priority. I think offensive line is going to be a priority too, just because they lose so many guys. Because of the imbalance there now, you're probably going to have to go portal for the offensive line or JUCO. For the next couple of years, just to kind of get it together so you're not so young. I know that's the last thing everybody wants to hear is, oh my gosh, you have to go rely on the portal for, is the offensive line just going to be bad in perpetuity around it? No. They can put it together. And then there's a core of young offensive linemen. You hold those guys together, backfill. That kind of thing. So I said edge is the priority. I think offensive line is too. You probably want to sign five. And like the late great Brad Lowing always said, if you sign five offensive linemen, three of them work out, that's a good day. It's a good day. That's a good day at the office as far as recruiting goes. All right, folks, we'll see you on the combo show later today. Don't forget, 10 to 1. Myself, JB, the Mad Dog. Taking you through your Friday afternoon, March Madness, and all that. Don't forget, InsideTheGamecocks.com. Sign up for our newsletter. You missed a good football newsletter yesterday. Jamie Bradford will have his baseball bulletin, lots of inside information on the baseball program. Have some softball insider stuff on there. I did not mention this. Eddie Shannon let go, parted ways with the Gamecocks assistant basketball coach. So that's the first domino that has fallen. Interesting that that's the first move. He's one of the assistants that recruited pretty well. He got Talon Cooper, BJ Mack. He's a good dude. I don't know. Thought it was interesting that that was the first one. First, or the guy they let go, but I'm not saying I disagree at this point. Any analysis you give of any moves is a moot point. You just need to go win. So if it helps them win, more power to them. If it helps them get good players, more power to them. But Eddie was a standout guard at Florida, and also was with Lamont Paris at Chattanooga for 3 years before Carolina for four. So he's been with Paris for a while. Just thought that was a pretty interesting move. That was the first one, but I expect more stuff to come out. With regards to Men's basketball roster changes, personnel changes, and all that soon. And we'll talk about it on the show. All right. This has been Coffee with JC Sherbert. It's been a fantastic week, folks. Hope you enjoy the weekend. Hope the Gamecocks on the Diamond Sports do well. Who knows? Especially with baseball. Softball could really use a series win. If you remember last year, the LSU series kind of got up going. And then, of course, Dawn Staley and her team, Southern on national TV. And then, interestingly enough, Monday, Clemson or Southern Cal. That should draw, not that these NCAA tournament games, I think, sell out and draw a ton of interest. That maybe gives you a little bit more added interest if it's the Tigers or if it's the Trojans. All right. See you, folks. Holla. Have a great, great weekend.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.